Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. The Lord has given us another beautiful day to worship Him, and we give thanks for that. It's even made more beautiful by the fact that today we have a baptism. So we have August Seeger up here, and his parents, Justin and Lacey. Justin just transferred into our congregation from St. John's New Minden, and Lacey's about to take our new members class in a couple weeks. So we are very thankful that August is here, and he's going to be brought into the Lord's kingdom through the power of water and the word. So what a blessing that is. If you'd like to follow along with the baptismal liturgy in your hymnal, that's going to be found beginning on page 268. And you can place your finger there or one of your hymnal bookmarks there. We'll be doing that a little bit later on, but we're going to begin with Divine Service Setting 3, and that will be on page 184. I invite you to please stand as we begin our worship today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Augie and his parents and his sponsors to come and join me right up here. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How is this child named? August Robert Seeger. Receive the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold August according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. So August's parents have chosen Josh and Shane to serve as his sponsors. And having heard these important responsibilities, I now ask you, is it your intention to serve August and support him in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let's proceed up here to the font. And we have a few questions for Augie over here, and since he can't speak for himself yet, I'm going to ask the two of you as his sponsors to respond to the following questions on his behalf. August, do you renounce the devil? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce him." Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them." Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them." Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, "Yes, I believe." Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead? If so, say, "Yes, I believe." And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, "Yes, I believe." August, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, "Yes, I do." Okay. Thank you. All right, Shane, if you want to come around here to this side for me. August Robert Seeger, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. You can hold that down. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. I want to encourage you guys to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on March 26th to remind Augie of his baptism day. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism throughout the history of the church is that when a person is baptized, when a child is brought to the font, they receive a new name. So God takes his triune name and he places it upon us in baptism. But it's also been a tradition that we will recognize the significance of a person's given name on the day of their baptism. So I was thinking about the name August, and that actually has its roots in ancient Latin, because you think about like Caesar Augustus, and that's kind of where that name comes from. And really, that name is kind of like a title. It's like you would call the Caesar honorable or majestic or something like that. And that's kind of what August's name means. I was thinking about how this is our prayer for him from this point forward, is that he would recognize the one who has made him honorable through this baptism. But not only that, that he would spend his whole life praising the name of the one who truly is honorable and majestic, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is an amazing moment. From this point forward, you get to worship that August Augustus God that we have, right? And it's all attached to his name, and that's really wonderful. I want to invite our elder Ben to speak a word of welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, August, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome Augie with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted August the new birth in holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats. You can extinguish the candle. And we will now continue with a baptismal hymn. We'll sing hymn number 594, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It.
Thank you.
please stand. We continue our service now with the Introit, which we will speak responsively. It's printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Precious in the sight of the Lord, I love the Lord because he has heard. Because he inclined his ear to me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called on the name of the Lord. For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord. We turn now to our Lenten hymn, which is number 422. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent comes to us from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Since we included the Apostles' Creed as part of our baptismal liturgy earlier in the service, we will omit that at this point, and we will now proceed with our children's message. I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
How is everyone today?
Good.
Good. How many of you got to sing just a little bit ago in the children's choir? Thank you guys so much for singing. That was really great. I really love hearing you guys sing, and it's always a blessing for us all to hear when the kids are singing. So thanks for coming and being here today for that. I think some of you were here last week when I had a Ziploc bag full of water and I poked some pencils through it and it didn't spill. Anybody remember that? We just did that last Sunday. Okay, some of you remember. So this week I have something else that's amazing that I want to show you, but it's not as amazing as last week, but I still think it's pretty cool. But I wanted to ask you about one thing first. What does it mean to be rescued? Evie. Saved from danger, right? Good. So have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you needed to be rescued from danger, saved from danger? Abe? You forgot? That's okay. Jackson? School? Okay, all right. I get it. How about, have you ever had to rescue someone else? Zoe? You have to rescue Max if he's going to do something dangerous. Yeah, sometimes Max gets himself into trouble, doesn't he? That's good, right? How about any of the rest of you? Have you ever had to rescue someone? Lila, have you had to rescue someone? If your brother goes crazy? All right. We'll have to show Grant this video later someday. Okay, well, I wanted to talk to you about how God has rescued us, right? That's really what we're always talking about and what we're always celebrating when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we come together in church, we're always celebrating the fact that God has rescued us. I don't know if you've ever felt like you were in any actual physical danger, like you might get hurt, and God has rescued you from a situation like that. But all of us have been rescued in a spiritual way. And I brought something with me to help talk about that. So I have a blank piece of paper, just a normal, boring piece of paper, and I have these pink scissors. And here's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to fold this, and I'll show you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to fold a big old triangle here, and then I'm going to fold another triangle across here. So now, what does this kind of look like? It kind of looks like a house, right? Or if you guys are baseball fans, what's coming up later this week? Opening day for the baseball season, right? Kind of looks like home plate, doesn't it? Right? But we look at this and it kind of looks like a squished house, right? Now, one of the ways that God has rescued us is by making his home with us. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? God has made his home with us. What does that mean? Okay, God has come into our hearts and has made his home in our hearts. Does anybody remember a really big moment in your life when that happened? Whoa, that sounds great. Okay, so you got three tickets to go to the Cardinals game? Wow, that's amazing. Can anybody think of a time, a really big moment in our lives when God came into our hearts and made his home with us? Baptism! Did we just see a baptism today? Do you see baby Augie right there? You know that God has now come into Augie's heart and made his home with him? Isn't that amazing? Absolutely. Now, if you were God and you needed to come up with a plan to rescue all of the people in the world, I don't know what plan you might come up with, but I'm going to take this home here. I'm going to fold it a couple more times, and we'll see if we can see another way of rest. What if God decided that he was going to rescue us by putting us on a plane? Would that be kind of cool if he could fit all of us on a big plane and take us up to heaven?
Or flying on the wing.
Flying on the wing? Oh, maybe that's not. Yeah, maybe that wouldn't work. I don't know. Okay, well, how about let's try this. I'm going to cut this here. It's going to be okay. Don't worry, Kinsley. It's going to be all right. I brought safety scissors so I wouldn't cut myself. What if God used a rocket ship? Wouldn't that be a really cool way to rescue all of us? Put us on a rocket ship? 3, 2, 1, blast off to heaven! That'd be awesome! But that's not how God chose to rescue us. How did God choose to rescue us? To send Jesus to die. Amazing! Look what just happened! This is how God chose to rescue us. Right? He came down to earth and Jesus died on the cross. And by giving up his life, he took away all of your sin. So that means you have been rescued from eternal death, from a life that you'd have to be separated from God because of your sin. No way. Because Jesus died on the cross, and because Jesus rose from the dead, and because you and I believe in him and all of God's promises, we get to live forever. We have been rescued. Isn't that awesome? It's pretty awesome. All right, so we're going to say a prayer together, and we're going to give thanks for God rescuing us. I need you to fold your hands, bow your heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us by dying on the cross. Help us to trust in you every day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And the rest of us will continue with the sermon hymn number 566, By Grace I'm Saved. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the epistle, which comes from Romans chapter 8. Paul is writing in this text about the difference between life according to the flesh versus life according to the Spirit. He makes it very clear that living according to the Spirit of Christ brings us life and peace because it's the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. Faith is what leads to us being rescued by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That rescue has come not because we earned it, but because God loves us and sent his Son to die and rise again for us. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the date was October 16th, 1987. Some of you might actually remember that day, whether you realize it or not. I don't remember that day because I was only about 10 months old on that day. But that was the day that a little girl by the name of Jessica McClure, or as the world got to know her, Baby Jessica, was rescued out of a well that she had fallen into after almost 60 hours of being stuck down there and trapped down in West Texas in a place called Midland. And the reason why I say that some of you might remember that day is because at the time, this was one of the most widely watched news stories that had ever happened, had ever existed. And so I'm guessing that there probably are some folks from Hoyleton that were among the millions that were tuning in and riveted to their TV sets watching as baby Jessica was rescued from the well. If you're not familiar with the story, basically what happened is this little girl at only about 18 months old was out playing in the backyard of her aunt's house, and she stumbled upon this well that evidently the family had forgotten about, and she tumbled down about 22 feet, something like that, before she was finally completely stuck down there. And of course, I can't imagine as a parent how awful that situation must have been, the terror, the fear, the panic, the sheer hopelessness of that situation. I have no idea if baby Jessica's parents had any hope when they found out that she was down in that well. Common sense tells you, you know, just looking at it from the outside perspective, you'd say, well, you know, situations like this don't usually turn out very well. But as the local news reporters started to come, they actually had one reporter who offered to take their microphone and lower the microphone down into that well. And when they did that, they actually heard Jessica down there. They heard her crying. They heard her talking to herself. They heard her singing. And so they knew that she was alive. They all of a sudden had some hope. And now quickly, they had to come up with a plan for her rescue, which involved actually digging a whole extra shaft next to the well, parallel to the well, and then down in the bottom there to build, like to dig a tunnel between the two so that they could get to her. The whole thing lasted, like I said, almost 60 hours, 2.5 days, terrifying, frightening experience. But when it was all said and done, they were able to bring baby Jessica back up to the surface. She was dirty and scraped up and dehydrated, but she was alive, thanks be to God. And if nothing else, what the whole world tuning in to watch got to see is that miracles can and do happen, and that nothing is impossible with God. So, okay, I'm going to come back to baby Jessica in a little bit, but I want us to take a look at what St. Paul has to say in this reading, this epistle reading here in Romans chapter 8. At the beginning of Romans chapter 8, we don't have anything that feels as intense or has the high drama that the people who were involved in baby Jessica's rescue were dealing with, but what Paul is talking about here is really just as miraculous as that. In fact, it's even more miraculous than that. What Paul says here in the beginning of this chapter is, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. If you really understand and take to heart what those words are saying about you, your jaw should be hitting the floor. You are set free by Jesus Christ. There is no more condemnation for you. You are alive because Jesus has rescued you. Is that awesome or what? Of course it's awesome. It's more than awesome. It's literally miraculous. But let's be honest. There's a part of us that doesn't always get it. I mean, I don't mean that we don't understand what the gospel is. Like, we understand the good news. We understand how Jesus rescued us. And I'm not saying that we don't believe in God's promises for us. But so often, we don't really live our lives as though we really have narrowly escaped death. That we really are truly grateful that we've been miraculously rescued. And I believe at least a part of the reason for that is because our sinful natures make it so that it's hard for us to see at times just how bad of a situation we've gotten ourselves into. And we don't always understand our need to be rescued. So going back to baby Jessica, one of the things that makes the baby Jessica story interesting is, I mean, obviously besides the miraculous rescue itself, is the fact that, okay, here we are, more than 35 years later, and we can look back and we can see how the individuals involved on that day, how it's impacted their lives going forward. And obviously, one of the people that it impacted the most was Jessica McClure herself. Jessica grew up and she's lived a pretty normal life, and she got married and she has two kids. And it's kind of funny to me that every single time there's a similar rescue story in the news, that inevitably somebody wants to interview baby Jessica all grown up, so adult baby Jessica. They want to get her take on whatever's going on. So, like, for example, like back in 2010 when we had the Chilean miners that needed to be rescued, or even just a few years ago when you had that soccer team from Thailand that was stuck in that cave. Somebody wants to find out what baby Jessica thinks of all of this, having gone through it herself. And every single time they do this, she ends up having to give the same answer, which is she can't compare it because she doesn't remember it. She was a year and a half old. She was 18 months old. She doesn't remember a thing about that rescue, right? As traumatizing of an experience as it could have been and would have been, she doesn't remember it. She has no recollection of it whatsoever. Everybody else, the millions of people who are tuning in and riveted to their screens, wanting to know what was going to happen, they understood fully. They appreciated the dire circumstances she was in. They knew that this was literally life or death. Who knows what was going through baby Jessica's mind when she was down in the bottom of that well? Right? She probably understood that she was tired and she was hungry and she was hurt and she was singing the Winnie the Pooh theme song, and that's all we really know. She isn't really able to fully understand what everybody else felt on those 2 days that she was down in the well. Ironically, the one who was rescued had the least amount of capacity to understand her need to be rescued. And a really similar thing happens with us in a spiritual sense. Our sinful natures make us unable, or even oftentimes unwilling, to take an honest assessment of our dire spiritual situation. When we sin against God, we sin against our neighbors with the selfish things that we do and say, we put ourselves into an even worse situation than baby Jessica was in at the bottom of that well. We're in even a tighter spot. We deserve to go way down lower than just 22 feet below the ground. Our situation is that we deserve nothing but a sentence of eternal death, eternal separation from God, eternal pain and misery, from which there is absolutely no escape. And only when we are confronted with God's law, presented in His Word, do we really fully begin to understand the amount of trouble that we're actually in. The law of God is abundantly clear. The wages of sin is death. And a holy God cannot stand to be in the presence of anyone less than holy. And if that's all we had, that's what we call the law of sin and death. If that's all we had, if that's all that Scripture ever gave us, boy, we would have a lot more fear and panic, wouldn't we? We would have even more fear and panic than baby Jessica's parents had when they first found out that she was in the bottom of that well. But this is the most critical moment for us. This is the crucial turning point for all of us. When the law confronts us and makes us grow up a little, makes us appreciate the situation that we're in and how terrible of a situation we put ourselves into, that's when we are finally ready to cling to the gospel, to cling to the good news, the promises of God, even tighter. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." We need to focus a lot less on what our flesh is capable of. Because if that's all we have, then we don't really have any hope at all. Baby Jessica wasn't going to get herself out of that well. You and I have even less of a capacity to get ourselves out of the hole that we've dug ourselves. But Jesus Christ is the one who has come down to earth and has rescued us with His perfect rescue plan. He's the one who took on our human flesh. He's the one who redeemed all of us, paying for our sins with His perfect life and with His perfect death. He comes down into that well with us. He grabs us and He brings us back up to the surface, back to safety. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but purely out of His love, His grace, His mercy. It's really miraculous. It's outside of what human logic and reason would expect to have happened. That someone who lived 2,000 years ago has somehow done everything that we needed in order for us to live forever. It's hard for us to understand, but Paul then emphasizes in this passage the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So at the end of this passage in verse 11, he says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So the Holy Spirit is the one who takes this miracle that happened 2,000 years ago, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. He takes what Jesus did then and He applies it to you now. He gives you that rescue and that miracle. And like I was just saying to the kids, what a blessing it is this morning that we got to witness that with baby Augie. We don't have baby Jessica here, but we have baby Augie here. And if Augie doesn't understand exactly what's happened to him today, that's okay. Because what matters is that the Spirit of Christ dwells within him. And that God has placed a trust in His Heavenly Father, the same trust that He's placed in our hearts too. And that God has prepared a place for us, for Him, for you and me, for all the saints, past, present, and future. He has prepared that place so that we will get to live with Him forever and ever, and that is the most miraculous rescue that this world has ever seen. Millions of people tuned in to watch baby Jessica rescued. Billions upon billions of souls get to stand before the throne of the Lamb in heaven, praising the one who has pulled us up out of the depths and despair. Rescued by Christ, we are set free to live according to the Spirit of Christ. And yeah, we might sometimes be a little dirty and scraped up, but at least we are alive, and more than just alive, but refreshed and renewed and restored. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We turn to the bottom of page 192 and we sing together the words of the offertory. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. We have a few updates in our prayers today. Those listed recovering from surgery, we have Margaret Arning, who had a successful procedure to receive a pacemaker, and she is back home and recovering, thanks be to God. Also, Daryl Holly was able to come home at the end of last week, and he's doing much better, recovering from his recent surgery. Upcoming surgery for Tim Schnicker. He'll be having surgery on Thursday to deal with some ongoing issues that he's been having. And finally, under ongoing health needs, we have been praying for Bill Wiest. That would be the father of Bob Wiest. And I was informed before the service today that Bill has come home and he has now entered into hospice care. So please lift him and his family in your prayers this week. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us go boldly into the presence of Christ with prayers for the whole church and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, your heart has known the pain of grief and the sorrow of death, even as we know it. You entered our world of death to take on the power of death and release those who live in its shadow. Receive our thanks for raising Lazarus from the dead, and direct our eyes to see in this miracle your own resurrection to everlasting life. Comfort us in our sorrows and help us to grieve not as a people without hope, but as those who anticipate the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you have brought us to dwell in your house and called us to worship you in spirit and truth. Receive our praise and hear our prayers that we would leave this place satisfied with your living water. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry. Especially be with Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic and our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Centralia, and their pastor, Jim Hennig. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you know the ties that bind as family, friends, and community. Fill the homes of your people with your spirit and with faith. Be with those who celebrate birthdays this week, including Kelton, Steve, Jace, Gandon, Curtis, Brady, and Norman. And we also thank you for the baptism of August Robert Seeger and ask you to be with him as he grows into the faithful young man of God you have called him to be. Help us all to live in love toward you, toward our family, and toward our neighbors. Guide our futures so that your will would be done in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, you hold all things in your hand, and you know the limitations of our power. Give us good and honest leaders in this and every land. Bless them with wisdom to heed your commands. Honor the path of virtue and punish those who break the law. Protect those who protect and defend us, especially the men and women in our armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, you have called and gathered to your people, to you, a people through the voice of your word and by the power of your spirit. Give to all your people a strong faith in the face of temptation and doubt and wisdom to discern the truth from error. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you know the suffering of your people, and you are present with us in our weakness. Give courage to the sick and those who suffer any need, that they may not waver from the truth. Give to our dry bones your healing grace and spirit, that we may be sustained in the day of trouble and delivered according to your merciful will. Hear us especially for those who are on our prayer list, especially those in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. Bless Margaret and Daryl as they both recover from recent surgeries. Be with Tim and Kenneth as they anticipate upcoming surgeries. And also be with all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Ray, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Loreen, Beulah, Carolyn, Roy, Savannah, Wayne, Corey, Mike, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Brighton, Shoei, Judy, Paige, Brinley, Brent, Bill, Delmar, and all those who are fighting cancer, and those who we now name in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, Lord, grant us according to your gracious will, keeping from us all things harmful and giving to us only those things which are good and profitable to us in our salvation, until that day when we shall see you face to face and rejoice with Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Ezekiel, and all the saints in your presence forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is number 550, Lamb of God. Good morning. Once again, thank you to the children's choir for enhancing our worship with song today. Thank you to all the parents for getting them here on time. We really appreciate that. A couple things to announce, things that are going on this week. Tonight, we have Youth Night. So Club 58 and YPS are invited to come back tonight, 6 o'clock, and we'll enjoy that time together. Also, Men's Choir is rehearsing tonight, getting ready for all of our Holy Week services and things like that. Special music is ramping up. So Men's Choir, please be here in the balcony at 6 o'clock this evening for rehearsal. Tomorrow is Chimes at 5 o'clock. And also tomorrow night will be the finance board. It's counting night, so please be there at 7 if you're on the finance board. And then coming up later this week, Wednesday is a big day. Wednesday is our final midweek Lenten worship service, but it also is our confirmand questioning service. Because of that, the schedule is different this Wednesday. So we will be getting together to begin that service at 6 o'clock. Okay, confirmands will need to be here at 5. They're going to have their pictures taken, but the service begins at 6. We do that an hour earlier because it's a little bit of a longer service, plus there's a reception afterwards, which you'll all be invited to come to, but it is a school night, so to try to get us out of here at a reasonable time, we are going to start all of that earlier. So please come 6 o'clock this Wednesday. I will be preaching the sermon, the last sermon in the series, His Final Steps, the one that I've already preached in Hoffman and Centralia. I finally get to preach here at home. So we'll do that in the beginning of the service on Wednesday and then proceed with the confirmand questioning after that. Coming up, you have the Holy Week services and the schedule is there for you. But I wanted to highlight that on Good Friday, our friends over at St. John's in New Minden are going to be hosting what is called a Good Friday Tray Or service, which is actually a three-hour-long worship service, which takes place during the 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross, from noon until 3 in the afternoon on Good Friday. This service will be done in 9 20-minute blocks with rests and breaks in between. If you're interested in coming, there is no expectation that you would attend the entire thing, but you can come for a portion of it as your schedule allows. This service will feature sermons delivered by various area pastors, and so if you're curious, I'm scheduled to preach at 1:40 in the afternoon on that Good Friday in New Minden. So please consider coming to that service. And the last thing will be Mr. Schaff. It is the last Sunday of the month, so it is time for the school minute, Mr. Schaff.
All right, first of all, I'd like to thank the kindergarten first and second graders and Mrs. Kasten and Mrs. Kester for leading them this morning. They did a nice job. We have started registration for the 23-24 school year, and we're looking forward to next school year, planning ahead. We have preschool through eighth grade, and we are really blessed here in Hoyleton to have all of the students, three-year-olds through eighth graders, all in one building. And many times our eighth graders or seventh and eighth graders will go and help the younger students, kindergartners, with reading tests and different things like that. And they've seen a lot of great interactions over time. I see some of our seventh or eighth graders have become quite popular with the younger students. And I won't mention their names, but the kids are going, goodbye, 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 you know, and they'll hug each other and stuff. So we've been really blessed to have that interaction with the different age students all in one building. Last month, I told you about two students who were going to go to a spelling bee. That was Joe Meyer and Jace Brammeyer. They went. Jace got second place in that spelling bee, and Joe did well also. She was in the last four, like she survived 14 rounds or so. Jace is moving on to a four-county spelling bee in Mount Vernon on Tuesday night, so we'll see how that goes. It's pretty intense. Also, we have track beginning tomorrow. That's fourth through eighth grade, and look forward to this track season. We have about five track meets, plus our state, and I think we'll have some students going there. Golf is on its way. Hopefully it's dry enough now they can get out on the golf course. And we also have Scholar Bowl, which will, the meets for Scholar Bowl will meet in New Horizon. And again, students in eighth grade are studying for confirmation. And it's hard not to mention during the children's sermon that Jackson, we're gonna rescue you next week from school for a while and just see how that goes. Anyway, It's a blessing, you know, at Trinity we get to share the gospel. Yes, Christ has rescued us from sin, death, and the power of Satan. And that is it. Lord's blessings on your day. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Any other announcements? Okay, go enjoy this beautiful day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.